What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Landing on the Plains, all things Auburn football from someone who really lived it. Man, what's going on? We are back with another one on this fine Thursday. And, you know, because it's Thursday, I kind of wanted to throw it back today, man, and go back to what I feel like has been the turning point in our program over the last half decade or so. So we're going to go back to what was my senior year, 2021, and go back to where I feel like everything went wrong and kind of shifted in our program. There are some specific points that I could easily pinpoint and point back to as, you know, really being turning points for us, you know, and not in a good way. And I feel like that's kind of like continued to lead on as we continue to go throughout the years. So, yeah, man, like I said, entering my last year, man, it was a brand new coaching staff, man. It was fresh off the heels of COVID year, which also wasn't a great year. But, man, that was just such a crazy year for everybody involved, man. Like, you know, just from playing with the schedule and travel and things like that. So it wasn't our best year in COVID year either. But, you know, kind of knowing and being there in 2021 and knowing how we prepared, knowing the kind of talent that we had, knowing how we started the season and how we finished it, I'm very confident in saying that that's kind of where everything went wrong. And talking to somebody who lived it, I was a captain on that team. And so, I got firsthand knowledge and firsthand experience and living through that. And so fresh off the heels of COVID, we had just let go of Coach Malzahn, man, at the end of 2020. And, you know, at the beginning of 2021, that's when the Brian Harsin tenure started. And this is, you know, also correlating with the time that I'm coming back to the program as well. Like I said in the previous episode, I sat out the COVID year. And so I'm coming back into a different regime. I'm going back into a different, you know, I'm saying, a set of circumstances, a brand new staff. You know, new expectations, because when you let go of a coach like Coach Malzahn, who had a lot of success at Auburn, you know, you obviously are doing that because you expect better, you expect more, and you want more. And so, you know, you can't go into the season, you know, not having expectations if you're going to make a move like that. And so I think the expectations were deservedly high. Headed into the year, but also it was a lot of chatter, a lot of talk, just because we did bring in a coach who was considered an outsider, right? It's no secret. You know, we brought in a coach from Boise State and Brian Harsin. And, you know, I can honestly say from my experience with him, like, I loved him as a football coach. Like, I did. You know, I have so many people all the time ask me how I felt about him, what our relationship was like. And I can honestly say, like, he was a great coach. But I can also say in the same breath that he wasn't for everybody. And, you know, that's just like the way I am, the kind of player I am, the kind of person I am. I'm like extremely adaptable. And so especially my circumstances coming back in. Right. I had been gone for quite a while, and like, I'm just coming back in, like, you know what I'm saying, trying to establish myself, trying to, you know, reassert myself, you know, be a leader, not just vocally, but in my actions. Like, I'm trying to really, you know, get back into the grind of things and get busy. So that's my mindset going into it. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is my last year to make something happen for my family, my son who was just born. And so I'm not really caring about none of that stuff, right? Like, that's just extra and outside noise to me. But honestly, the beginning of, you know what I'm saying, what I feel like was inner turmoil as a team, like, especially like player wise, is it started early, like, you know, in that early stage where we were supposed to be building our foundation, man, and like setting our standards, right? And like all coming together to continue to move in one direction. And, you know, from the very, very get go, like, we were putting ourselves behind the eight ball because, you know, you got half the team that's behind closed doors talking about, you know, what does this guy from Boise know about coming down here? Like, this is the SEC. All of that kind of stuff ain't gonna work down here, this, that, and the third. And, you know, like, in hindsight, like, that's not the mindset we should have went into it with. And obviously that's not the mindset I went into it with, but when you have like a section of the team or you have certain people or certain individuals of the team that's pulling in that kind of direction, like after a while it becomes contagious, man. Like it's hard to get away from, like you already hear it on the outside. So like if it's in the locker room as well, like we don't stand a chance, man. And so, yeah, I think that just kind of started early, man, as far as guys buying in. And I kind of go a little deeper into the whole buying in thing, man, and why it's so important. But we didn't get that from the very, very get-go. And it definitely showed later on in the season when we needed it the most. And so, yeah, that started early, man. This is winter workout, springtime, man. And, you know, it had nothing to do with how hard we worked because, like, we worked extremely hard, bro. Like, there's not one person on the team that year who could tell you that they didn't get stronger. Not one person. Like every single player on the team got stronger, got bigger, got faster. And that's not to say that we weren't working before that, because we were. And, you know, our strength coach was Coach Russell, and he was phenomenal. And, you know, a phenomenal speed guru. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, as far as speed work, man, like Olympic lifts and all of those kind of things, and like just a slight edge mindset and like a whole lot of stuff that was really good for us as a team, bro. Like he was phenomenal. But, you know, once we got a new strength staff, they just brought in a different kind of concept of lifting. Like it was just different for us all. And so obviously our bodies responded to it differently, and we all got bigger, faster, and stronger. So it wasn't the way we worked. Because throughout the entire winter and spring, man, we worked for show. And we had a good spring practice. And just alluding to that buy-in thing, man, like I vividly remember us running the drill in the springtime, man. And we were kind of like in a horseshoe formation, man. And just a simple tackling drill. And, you know, you just got half the team, man, looking around like, bro, why are we doing this? And this down the third. And why are the quarterbacks doing this? And this down the third. And so, I mean, it's just another example of like I'm the type of person who is like, even if, you know, something might not make sense in the moment, like I'm gonna do it. Like I'm trying to be on the same page, and I'll be moving in the same direction. And especially being a leader, even if I don't agree with something, like I'm not going to say it out loud, and you know what I'm saying, try to create pushback, like I said, because that's contagious. And so yeah, man, just throughout the spring, summertime, like we just had so much of I won't say confrontation, because I mean, we all got along, but it was definitely a little clicky. You know what I'm saying? Like we had certain guys who hung out in certain groups and things like that. And we definitely had a issue with guys being on time. And another thing, like I said, I'm just keep alluding to it, like buying in, like that's the most important thing when you have a brand new coach and a brand new staff and things like that. And you're trying to turn the culture around, man. Like you're trying to build something, like everybody has to be going in the same direction. And so, like I said, we had a problem with guys being late, and it got to a point where, like, we as leaders said, you know what, like, coach, y'all don't even worry about it, bro. Like, every time somebody late, we gonna handle it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't even have to worry about it. Like, it's at this point, you know what I'm saying? It's up to us as players to get it correct, to get it fixed. And, man, it's like even trying to do that, it was pushed back with that, like, within the team. You know, like, we all just couldn't get on the same page when it came to, like, accountability, when it came to, like, the simple stuff, showing up on time, positive self-talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if you don't have that kind of buy-in, everybody on the same page, like it's not going to work. And so, I mean, like, and I'm going to keep saying, like, we were super talented. We had extremely good work ethic. That wasn't the issue. It was the buy-in. So like we get to the summertime, and I mean, like I had never worked so hard in my life. Like it was ridiculous. Like the amount of stuff we was doing, like we would go from the facility or the indoor facility and walk to the stadium, run stadiums. And I'm not talking about the steps, I'm talking about the bleachers. Like they had us on the bleachers and we got up to like 20 reps, I believe. Like we started at around 8 to 10 and we went up by 2 every single week in the summertime, man. And it's like, I know every single player on the team remembers those decks. We still talk about those in our linebacker group message to this day. And how much pain that was, and what we used to go through. And we didn't just used to do that. We used to go straight from that, go walk back to the facility, and then go put about 450, 500 pounds on our back and squat. So I'm saying we got stronger, we got bigger, we got faster. You know what I'm saying? And the talent was there. I believe our entire defense played professionally at some level, right? I'm talking about, you know, from the safety position, the smoke and corners, Nehemiah and Roger and Jalen Simpson and linebacker, me, Owen, and Zacoby, and Super Bowl champion Derek Hall and Marcus Harris, Eku Leota. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had crazy talent. Kobe Wooden, like, our entire defense played professionally. You had two NFL running backs in Tank and Jarquez, an NFL quarterback in Bo. So, I mean, we had a squad. We had a team. Like, with the talent that we had, there was absolutely no reason why we should have won six games. So we get to the season, and we start off strong, man. Like, we start off with our first two non-conference games, and I believe, like, it was a combined score of those two games, like 100-something to 10. And then we head up to Happy Valley to play Penn State, you know, first road test. And that game for me was like my awakening as what we could be as a team, because it was tough playing up there. I won't lie to you. Like, as far as like it being loud, like especially for the offense, like, bro, it was deafening, absolutely deafening. That jump was crazy, bro. Like, it was game day, wide out, night game. So it was crazy. And for us to go up there and play as solid as we did, like, I'm not really into moral victories, but, like, I mean, it was like 20-21 at the beginning of the fourth quarter. And we ultimately just didn't make enough plays towards the end of the game to come out with a victory, which you got to do on the road, especially at a place like that. You, like, you have to win the game. It's not just going to, you know, come to you. So we just didn't do that. But it was like an experience to, you know, kind of see, like, yo, we built for this. We got what it takes. We just got to keep getting better. Like, the pieces to the puzzle are there. And that's what you wanted to see. And so, you know, I came out of there encouraged, man. Like, that was my game for me. Like, welcome to my senior year for me. Like, that was my welcome back moment. I had played solid the first 2 weeks, man. And but in this game versus Penn State, man, my fellow linebacker Owen Papo went down with an injury. And, yeah, I just remember being on the sideline to play. He got hurt, man. And coach came up to me, was like, yo, obviously you Mike. And he's just going over all these notes, man, like, from the game plan. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you get your eyes to the sideline for the call, this, that, and third. And I'm just looking at him like, bro, you don't even know. Like, I'm about to go ball. Like, I'm not worried about none of that right now. And, yeah, I ended up going out there, bro. And that was, like, the first time, like, everything slowed down. Like, everything felt slow motion, man. I had, like, 11 tackles, 1.5 for loss. And, like, that was my moment where, like, I started to really feel comfortable. And, you know, obviously, like, us being inconsistent this year, like, up and down, like, we followed that up the next week with almost losing to Georgia State. Like, it was crazy. Like, we had to bring the backup quarterback in to finish the game, and ended up leading us to victory. But yeah, the game was a lot closer than it should have been, man. And so when you go from, like, a game like Penn State where we play solid, obviously you want to look for improvement, then you go to a game like that, it's like, what's going on? But it's like, we were so hard to read and understand, because we followed that up the next week with winning on the road at LSU for the first time since 1999. So it's like, nobody really knows what our identity is, how good we can be. It's really just about the consistency. Like, how consistent are we going to be? And so, yeah, we continue to go through the season, man. Like, I think we go like 2-1 over our next couple of games, which lands us at 6-2, right around Halloween time, bro. And, this is the turning point, and what I think was not just our season, bro, but like everything that's continued to go on after. Because, you know, we lose to Texas A&M in a game where, you know, on defense, we only give up 6 points through three quarters. You know what I'm saying? And we didn't give up a defensive touchdown the whole game. I think they scored like 12 or 13 on field goals. And then they had a fumble recovery for a touchdown to get to 20. But, yeah, we played phenomenal on defense. And then this is where you feel the shift in our team begin to happen. Because once we get to Texas A&M, like, it becomes offense versus defense. And that's the last thing you can have when you have a football program. Like, throughout the years, you're going to have some years where your offense is better than your defense. You're going to have some years where your defense is better than the offense. You're going to have some years where they both might be elite at the same time, which is what you want. But, yeah, instead of picking our guys up, bro, like, instead of guys rallying around each other, man, and, like, it was the complete opposite, man. And, like, it just grew a shift in our team. Like, we were dead for real, split down the middle, like, offense versus defense. I'm so much so to where you got guys talking before the games, like, yo, are y'all gonna do anything today? You know what I'm saying? Like halftime, like, how about y'all move the ball? How about y'all do this at the third? Like, we holding on for dear life, like that kind of talk. And so I'm saying, like, there's no way we can be successful talking like that, acting like that. That's not a team, bro. And so the buy-in, like I alluded to earlier, man, like, had we from the very beginning bought in the process, bought into the head coach, bought into each other, once we get to this point in the season, and the following week, Mississippi State, when we lose our quarterback for the rest of the season, instead of, you know, us rallying around each other, it's, you know, it's over with. Offense ain't this offense, this down the third, this defense versus offense. And that's not, it's not going to help us win football games. We're not winning football games. And so, yeah, like I said, Bo got hurt, Mississippi State game. This is the turning point. If you ask me, man, we were up 28-3. And before you know it, it's 43-28. Like, I had never experienced nothing like this before. Like, I remember being on the sideline after one of the drives, man, and like trying to light some fire into the guys, and like people looking at me like with these looks in their eyes, like I'm not really feeling you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not really all the way there no more. And so that was tough to kind of have that game, have that experience. And then that same game, you lose your quarterback, man, for the season. Like, that was the turning point, man. That's where everything changed for us, for sure, because we end up going on to, you know, lose the rest of our games, and not just the rest. Like, it was the way we were losing. Like, we were up on South Carolina crazy 14-0, lost that game. You know what I'm saying? We were beating Alabama in the Iron Bowl in last home game of our career as a senior for me. And we're winning the game 10-0 pretty much the whole game, you know, up until the fourth quarter. And it's 10-3. And, you know, Bryce Young's got to go by 98 yards to tie the game, to try to force overtime. It's maybe a little over a minute left. And, yeah, I'll never forget, man. I tell people this story sometimes, man. I told him this because we were teammates in Carolina. But this is when I knew Bryce was like that, because that man walked out there, like I said, 10-3 with like a minute left and an Iron Bowl on the road. And we had been beating him up the whole game. Like, we had like crazy amount of sacks, pressure, picks. Like, we was doing it to them boys. And so, like, this man walked out there with a little over a minute left and was smiling. And I just remember being like, what's so funny? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's funny? Like, there's nothing funny about what we've been doing to you today. And man was smiling, walking like it was all cool. And man, it obviously was, because he marched down, tied the game, and the rest is history, man. Went to four overtimes, man, and I was sick. I still think about that game to this day. It's probably the biggest heartbreak I've ever experienced in a football game in my life. To lose in four overtimes in your last home game, bro, like, that was like the bow on top of kind of how our season went. And it kind of like encapsulated everything that we had been through, like how we started so well, and then towards the end we just fell off. And it was not talent, it wasn't nothing, you know, it had nothing to do with work ethic. It was just the fact that we weren't together, and we weren't bought in. We weren't bought into the schemes. We weren't bought into coach. We weren't bought into each other. And so, obviously, we ended up going on to do the same exact thing in the bowl game as well. We played Houston, obviously leading in the fourth quarter as well, and then losing last minute. And so it was sick to end my career that way too as well. And like I said, leading throughout the game and just to lose at the end, like, we had been through that like the last four or five games. And so yeah, it was just a nasty time, because there was a lot of nasty you know, self-talk going on in the locker room, talking about guys talking about leaving, talking about guys like, I don't care, I'm finna go to the draft, I'm about to transfer, coach tripping this, coach tripping that. And so it's like, once we hit a certain point in the season, it was over. And so once we got to the end of the season, it was just like more so people just wait, ready for it to be over, ready for it to get to the end, so they could focus on what was next, whether it was the draft, whether it was next team, or whether it was next season. And so Yeah, I say that season definitely taught me a lot, though, as I continued my football career once I went to the NFL and just, it taught me what was really important. And now it's crazy. I can talk about it now because I can see Auburn in that spot now, just with the whole entire, you know, new coaching staff and a new scheme, a new culture. Like, this is the most important time right now where guys got to buy in. Because the talent is there. Like I said, my team, it was nothing about talent. And it had nothing to do with how hard we worked. It was just simply we didn't buy in. We didn't buy into coach. We didn't buy into each other. And so I think if these guys can just buy in and all be headed in the same direction, if they're all working towards the same goals and working towards bettering themselves for Auburn, like there's no limit on what the team could do or be. And so I'm excited to watch them continue to work throughout the summertime and just get better. Like, this is the time for that. And like I said, to continue to buy in, because that's what my team did not have. Like, we had all the ingredients, man. But like, if there's no trust in each other, like when times get hard, it's going to crumble. There's no belief in each other. Like I said, we were split down the middle, offense versus defense. If there's no belief in each other, like, we just out here with the uniform on playing. You know what I'm saying? So, once we got towards the end of the season, it was no camaraderie. It wasn't a team. And so it was just a bunch of individuals trying to get their stats off so they could, try to better their future. And so that's kind of how things unfolded, man, and why things unraveled the way they did. And so obviously that led to another disappointing season the year after that and a brand new coach staff having to be brought in. And now that staff is gone. And so I think now we're at the point where it's like, it's time, bro. Like, I think Coach Alex Golish is the man for the job. I think these guys are bought in. And that's first and foremost what you need as a coach, trying to build that culture, man, is buy-in from the guys. Because if you got that, man, all the guys going to be moving in the same direction, bro. And, the sky's the limit, man. And so I'm excited for it, man. And I think it's going to pay dividends, not just now. Obviously, it's important now. But like I said, towards the end of the season, once you really get in the heat of those battles, when you really need your character to show up, when you really need your team's identity to show up, like, that's when it's going to be important. And so I think they just got to keep continuing to build on that, man. And there's no telling what could really go on the plains. And so excited for that, man, like I said, and really looking forward to it, man. That's all we got for today. I appreciate you guys tuning in, as always. If you really like this episode, man, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And as always, War Eagle.